And I find it really interesting, and I'm especially interested and fascinated by like stigma and vulnerability around yeah,
Mm-hmm.
and so like people judging you for being online, like doing online dating, or I don't know, even like kind of talking about these things and like why they're meaningful. I think there's this kind of trope of like a strong and successful person is one who isn't really concerned about love or like meeting someone. And, you know, when you're not paying attention, that's when it happens. And like, I think that this like loneliness and finding connection are just really, really important things for everyone. And I think they play a role in everyone's life in different ways, depending on what your life looks like. And so I wish people would talk about it more.
I think there's like two parts to that. And one part is like, there's this idea where if you know, online dating is like the backup choice. It's like when you can't find anyone in real life.
Yeah.
And so I think there is that kind of shame of like, oh, you know, you're not worthy of finding someone in real life, so you have to go. You have no other alternative.
Yeah, totally.
And I think another aspect of that might be like to deal with like misogyny, like specifically for like heterosexual relationships in general. I think women tend to be characterized as like really needy, and there's this idea that like we have to strive to be the cool girl. You know the cool girl monologue from Gone Girl?
No.
Okay. It's really good. You should go listen to it.
Okay.
But it's basically how society is kind of like trying to, in the name of feminism, trying to make us into these people who are like down for sex but don't mm-hmm. need to commit. Like, you know, you
right.
don't, like, you don't want to be needy. Like, to be needy as a woman is like embarrassing.
It's funny because I think that cool girl trope, like, I haven't heard that monologue, but I know what you mean. And I see that represented in media elsewhere. And like, I have friends or like someone I used to be friends with who is just like kind of purports that image of like being a cool girl, being strong, like not caring about dudes. But still like very much seeks male validation. Like, this is a thing I see a lot is like, it, and not even necessarily in romantic ways or sexual ways, but like a lot, like women are socialized to seek male validation and
yeah,
to,
for sure.
and to feel that differently than other forms of validation. And like, I wish people were more honest about that, you know? And like, it's, I don't know. A lot of people pretend like they don't, a lot of people pretend to be cool girls, and then like their actions betray that image. And again, I guess this is just a comment on how like people aren't really being honest. And yeah, we should all be less cool. We should all just be like honest about our feelings and our needs.
So part of the reason why I deleted Tinder is that I was kind of uncomfortable with some of the presentation aspects. Like, I felt like swiping through all the profiles and trying to decide if I was interested in someone solely based on these pictures, it did feel kind of objectifying. So I brought up my concerns with Eloise.
A lot of people who are against those apps will say, "Oh, but you're just judging on the physical aspect. You don't consider them as people because you just like swipe profiles, blah 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 blah." Which is basically also what you do in a bar. If you're like looking to like find someone, you're just like, "Oh, this boy looks clean. In my work, this boy looks not to my taste or straight up ugly." Well, yes, you just swipe, you know, like you just swipe mentally. So yeah, you have this kind of like dehumanized way of creating relationships and connections. And I understand how you can see that, like, ooh, that is something weird, because nothing has been kind of like compared to that before. At this like factory level, see, because you're seeing like so many people in the comfort of your own couch, you don't even have to like put yourself out there and be vulnerable. But yeah, and it's also like always a little bit like awkward when you see people you personally know on dating apps, like your friends or
I once saw one of my TAs on Bumble and I immediately deleted the app.
Oh wow. I mean, it didn't make like their profile like go away, but yeah.
Yeah, but I was just like I can't deal with this. I got freaked out, immediately deleted my account, and I've never been on Bumble since.
Oh god. But yeah, no, TAs is always like complicated. Or even just like classmates. Classmates are a little bit like awkward. Because also, classmates, you see them like physically, you know what they look like, but you don't know how they present themselves to like strangers on the internet.
I know there's something I have to unpack about the mortifying ordeal of being known and the discomfort of being seen when you can't control the context, but those aren't my only reservations about dating apps. So at the end of the day, I personally won't be going on dating apps anytime soon because the fun just doesn't necessarily cancel out the discomfort for me. I just don't like them and they're not for me. But I also understand that they are shaping the ways we might find love and intimacy in the modern age. So I present to you some practical advice about swiping and making profiles.
For me, I totally stopped swiping profiles where I don't know how to start the conversation. Unless I have like a flash of idea when I see the profile, I'm like, oh, if a match happens, I know how to start the conversation. I don't swipe, which like deletes everybody without a description of themselves, or people just being like, oh, I like food and the office. See, because you cannot start a conversation with that.
What about like curation of like your own image? Like when you are making your own profile, what kind of image of yourself are you trying to present? Is there a certain type of photo you will pick?
So to establish like a short profile of myself, I consider myself as like a funny person. You can have fun with me. I'm really easy to make laugh, I guess. I'm an art history major and I really truly am passionate about, I do roller derby and like I always talk about that. My favorite anime is Evangelion, and of course it will go up in the conversation at some point. So I kind of use those elements being like, ooh, okay, so which one can be turned into something funny, something like catchy in pictures. Yeah, in pictures, I wanted to like show a picture of me like playing derby, but like none of them are cute yet. I found a cute one. I should put it there. Okay. Of course, I created like pictures where I'm cute, but also like, I think I personally like give up a lot of like information about my personality throughout my clothing. So it was important for me to like display my looks. And I actually got a lot of like compliments about like my looks, even mostly by girls, of course, because boys will just be like, skirts, but also like not too pretty pictures. I'm a cool girl. I'm low maintenance.
Why don't you want photos where you're like looking pretty, quote unquote?
Oh, I look super cute on my pictures. I look super pretty, but I don't want it to look too like, oh, I tried so hard.
You don't want to seem desperate.
It's not I want to seem desperate. It's just like I personally, as a person, like don't spend hours taking selfies of myself. I know I'm pretty. That's enough. Mm-hmm. I'll have a trace later. You know, like it's so it does not correspond to myself. I don't judge people who are like going on Tinder photo shoots with their friends. That's a fun activity. And also like for the ego booster. Perfect. But yeah, it's just not me. So that's why I didn't spend too much time on that.
That's it for the first episode of Love 101. I'm hoping to make more, so please stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening. This is Isa signing off. Smell you later.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least... 3 times bigger than this!
Good morning. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Musqueam people. This morning, we have Susie Hay with us from SEC, Social Enterprise Club. And this is 24 hours of student power, your favorite time of the year where CITR appreciates all the hardworking students of UBC. Hey, Susie, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Susie.
Right now, I'm co-president of Social Enterprise Club, and I'm just here letting you guys know what we're
talking
about.
To the mic.
I'm a third-year human geography student, but I'm also interested a lot in business, which is why I got involved with the club.
Nice. So what does Social Enterprise do?
Social enterprises are basically businesses that usually have what we call a triple bottom line. Mm-hmm. So they're, instead of just trying to gain profit, they're also trying to help the people and planets, and the planet. So essentially
all the planets
including Venus. But essentially, and if you think of like nonprofits on one side of the spectrum and you think about a traditional like corporation, traditional for-profit business on the other side of the spectrum, mm-hmm. social enterprises are kind of that space in the middle, where essentially you don't have the restrictions of a nonprofit in terms of like bureaucracy and funding, but you're also trying to do good for the world instead of being a blood-sucking business corporation.
Hmm. And do you feel like that's like super important in the present day where things kind of seem polarized and it's like either you're, I don't know, selfless and like donating or you're Amazon, like
yes.
Bezos and like
yeah.
don't let your workers pee?
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. Yeah, no. Yeah, I do think that's really important because I don't know. I think in terms of the issues that we face today, that a lot of them are really huge, wicked problems like climate change or like poverty or like any of these issues. Social enterprises kind of give you that flexibility to be able to address them, if that makes sense. Like they aren't limited by a lot of the traditional, limits of a nonprofit, like I said, a bureaucracy or a for-profit corporation where you really aren't thinking of anyone else but yourself or mm-hmm. How to increase shareholder value. Whereas social enterprises, they have the flexibility of a for-profit and they can be more sustainable as a for-profit corporation or a for-profit business because they are able to create their own money instead of depending on outside organizations for funding. But they also are still trying to address the issues that we face today.
Hmm. Do you think there are any like good examples of companies, like majorly successful companies that are doing that today?
Yes. So Patagonia is our go-to example because most people know what that is.
Yeah.
But
especially in Vancouver.
Yeah, especially in Vancouver. Patagonia is a good example because their CEO is super eccentric. But, yeah, they're a for-profit business, but they're trying to do a lot of good for the world. I think they donate a lot to, like, different natural park causes, especially in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And their CEO, sometimes if, like, an issue just appears, he'll be like, okay, this month we're donating, like, all our profits to this one issue that I found. And a lot of their sourcing is sustainable, like, for their fleeces and stuff. I'm pretty sure it's all recycled or something like that. So, yeah, they do a lot of good. I think there's also like a decent amount of debate for what a social enterprise is. Mm-hmm. I think we try our best to advocate for the philosophy itself rather than like a strict definition. Because I think like some people would consider it, like Lush is another one that a lot of people know about.
Yeah.
But some people wouldn't consider that a social enterprise.
I guess they're like cruelty free.
I don't know.
I don't know what.
It really depends on what you're, like, some people really want you to stick by, like, one definition. Like, a big sort of indicator of whether it's a social enterprise, if it's certified a B Corporation, which is this outside certification that essentially says that this company has met these standards and this criteria year after year to be sustainable and to ensure that their profits are used well, that their workers are treated well. And then they get that certification, and then that's a good indicator that it's a social enterprise. But I think that there's a lot of flexibility in what it means, so therefore you don't have to stick to that strict definition.
Hmm. Cool. That's interesting. I feel like we need a lot more social enterprises in the world today, and corporations or, like, companies that are doing, I guess, like positive work, but not in a way that's like performative and ends up being more harmful. Like, yeah. I always think of, you remember Tom's?
Yeah. Oh,
and like, man, all Tom's. The shoes they donated just so ruined bad. Like local shoe businesses in like different countries.
Yeah, that was the worst. Because they're like
dumping hundreds and hundreds of these crappy. Sorry, no, don't sue us, Tom's. I didn't mean to say crappy. Allegedly crappy shoes. But yeah, that's cool. We have some songs to play. One of them maybe has something to do with social enterprise. But the first one that we're playing really doesn't, but, you know, we both like it. And it's a Friday morning, so we thought it would be nice to wake up to. This is a Doorman by Slow Tie.
Business this morning?
Pretty good. I made about 12, 13 quid, and that was about not having any arguments with anyone. That's pretty much a strike.
If you don't, gonna get your head kicked in.
Shoot the messenger, string them up. She's a 10 plus 10, not enough. Mixed messages, wires cross. Marry me, what you got too much? Toothbrush and socks. Parents minted Mayfair, couple dogs. We go on walks. Never talks. I put my heart out, she laps on my blood. Blue light, double vision. Our races like supercars. Two drinks, the room spinning. 70, you're the ace of hearts. High society, cute kittens. Allergies, I don't like you enough. Block me on your private visa. Your grandmother, she can play with us. Nicotine, can't quit it. Two's up. Two's down, you stop it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out, wow. Nicotine, can't quit. Two's up, two's down, you stop it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out, wow. Doorman, let me in the door. Spend all my money, you ain't getting no more wages. Sure, sir, sir, are you sure? Ensure I'm not a mob, you can drag up the floor. Inside, shell shock. She's standing with the guy. Guys, your man, stare him out real polite. No please, no thanks, wanna drink, I'm alright. Beer goggles on, pull the wall, now I'm blind. Clear as day, I can see. You made me melt, sun ice cream. You smooth like felt, suck through the touch. You wear repellents for yourself from up above. Angel getting carried out of club. But slapping Harry, Harry's just a mug. Stood outside, waiting where you gone. Nicotine, can't quit it. Two's up, two's down. You stop it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out, wow. Nicotine, can't quit it. Two's up, two's down. You stop it out before I finish. On my arm and I scream out, wow.
Just about any type of drug is in. But glue sniffing ranks equal number one with cheap booze.
Hello!
Cyril is a glue man, and his outlook on life is invariably through a plastic bag. Even on the street, he has something up his sleeve to make work more tolerable.
The only thing that no one takes Cyril in, you know, if I do, we kick him out. That's the thing that is really, really bad for you.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live bands, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
FunDrive 2020, CITR's annual fundraiser extravaganza, is almost upon us. This year's theme is Crush on CITR. And since we deal primarily in sound around here, we started wondering, what does a crush sound like?
Hey, do you want to make out?
It's like that filter on Instagram. It's like da-da-da.
Well, as great as those answers were, we're kind of hoping this year a crush sounds a bit more like... Because your donations are what allow us to do, well, almost everything. Hosting free radio and podcast trainings, publishing the amazing Discorder magazine, producing local independent news, promoting and playing local music, and so much more. Our FunDrive goal is to reach $30,000 by February 14th. You can show your crush on CITR right now by visiting citr.ca/donate.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is 24 Hours of Student Power. And I realize I never introduced myself. I'm Isia, interviewing Susie, co-president of Social Enterprise Club. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to tell you guys a bit more about a pretty good and important event that's coming up soon.
Yeah. We have our annual conference coming up on Saturday, February 1st from 10 to 4 p.m. inside the AMAS Nest Great Hall. Basically, this event has been going on for, I think, like 6 years. It's an opportunity for students to learn about social enterprises and get to meet social entrepreneurs. It's a full day full of keynotes, panels, workshops. You get a lunch. And you just get to talk to people who work in the field about what they're doing. A couple cool people or cool companies, cool representatives from cool companies we have coming this year include, we have a workshop from Patagonia. Cool. I think someone from Me to We is coming, flying all the way from Toronto.
I forgot about We Day.
Yeah, what isn't that crazy?
Crazy phenomenon.
I know. And they're flying all the way from Toronto. Yeah. And like, we didn't pay for their tickets, so
They really believe in SEC. You should too.
Exactly. So you should come. We're boothing during Clubs Day. Wait, Clubs ended today, right?
I mean, you should know if you're
a club. Oh, yeah. We're boothing. Today's the last day at Clubs Day to come and buy a ticket in person with cash, or you could follow us on Facebook at UBC Social Enterprise Club, and you can buy a ticket online through Show Pass. Tickets are $25, but don't worry, if you can't afford that, we have opportunities for you to come still. Just message us on Facebook. Yeah, but it'll be a really fun day, and you get food, so which is a pretty good deal. You also get a goodie bag, usually with like a Lush bath bomb or something like that. Yeah.
How stressful has it been planning the conference?
It's been really stressful for our conference team because, especially during this time of year, they're very, like, Luke, he's one of our conference co-chairs, and he's been stressed out of his mind about this, especially now that it's ticket sales time. I think we're right now sold, like, 70% of tickets.
It's pretty good.
Which is pretty good, but we're hoping to sell a lot more. Because sometimes people don't show up on the day of, and that's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
You bought it. That's your loss. But yeah, it's been quite stressful as it's like a week now before the actual event happens. I think the whole team's just trying to support the conference team and make sure that we take as little off their plate as possible.
Mm-hmm. Where is it going to be again?
The Great Hall in the Nest. It's like floor 3.
Okay, I think. Cool. Well, hopefully a lot of people come get enlightened.
With knowledge.
With knowledge from our Lord and Savior, head of Patagonia.
Yes, love him.
Yeah, hopefully that goes well. We have 5 minutes left.
Oh, my gosh.
On the clock. Is there anything else you want to plug?
Anything else you want to plug? Oh, in February we have Lush Tour coming up. So that'll be fun.
What's
definitely. That basically what happens is we get a bus and then we take you to the Lush office in Vancouver, which is close to Richmond, I think, like on Marine Drive.
I think the factory?
Yeah, the factory.
My friend worked there.
Yeah.
Josh.
It's so much fun. And then you get to go take a tour of the factory, and then they usually give you like a goodie bag full of Lush stuff, and it's lots of fun.
That's cute.
Yeah, maybe it is. It is really cute. Go. Yeah, but it sells out really, really quick, so you gotta be quick on it.
When is it again?
February.
Do you have a date? No.
Either the week of the 10th or the 17th. Well, we're still confirming on date. But yeah, beautiful. That'll be lots of fun. So definitely keep an eye out for that.
Well, thank you, Madam President, for coming on CITR. 24 Hours of Student Power. Up next, we got Max talking about traffic, music, weather. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Yeah,
he's not here. He is here. He's here to confirm, yet he will not. Yeah, thanks for listening to this very short segment on SEC. Go to the conference, go to the Lush Tour, and have a great Friday.
Laying in the cut though, easy. Tryin' to see what up though, Brooklyn, home of the cutthroats. Notorious, y'all know how the rest go sleepin'. One eye open, too smart cause I'm always scoping, watching, seeing how these lames look, lazy. This how you get your frame took, money. I got money. Money. I got money. Talking, always talking. That's your problem, you always talking. Rockstar, mixed with a ghetto chick. Try me, I wish a nigga would, bitch, hold up. Who gon' hold us? Not the cemetery or the penitentiary. Damn, my contemporaries, I'm too legendary. It's so money, I got money. Money, I got money. I'm money. Grind and hustle, I had to work like Kobe just to shine like Russell. They say, glad you made it, it happened overnight. They say, damn, you changed. I'm like, show you right, nigga, I been
in the crib, trying to find the BPM. Rehearsing for the next show in my kitchen. Fresh off for tour, but can't tell you where I've been. Maybe after 20 years, I'll start to take it in. Right now, I'm chasing in Dover Street again. I'm introverted, I'm not open to new friends. But if you're real cute, then I have to think again. Shop the runway so you can stay off trend and look like money. Money. Right, nigga, I got money. I got money. Money. I got money. I'm money. I got money. Money. I got money.
Something to